morning. Welcome again to another live stream from the Faith Missionary Church located in Lewisburg, North Carolina. I want to say to the members, good having you join us again. And I want to say to all the visitors that we are happy that you also joined us. This morning, I'm excited about the Word of God, and I want to share with you from the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 7. I'll give you some time to turn there again from the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Let's begin reading at verse number 7. I'll be reading from the King James rendering. You'll find words along this sort. Verse number 7 begins, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And our verse of focus is verse number 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." I want to talk to us this morning from the subject, the silent season. Say that with me, the silent season. Let's pray. Eternal God, our Father, it is again that you have blessed us to share via live stream, Father, a word from you. Father, you know who's watching. You know, Father, where we are in our life. I ask now, God, that this word be delivered with the power and potency that your word warrants. I pray, Father, for your anointing to fall fresh on the hearer as well as the preacher. Bless us now with your indwelling spirit. Manifest your presence mightily, though we are apart. Father, through the connectivity of the Spirit, make us now, God, better than what we begun this day with, and make us to be different. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We all go through different seasons in life. We experience times of abundance. We get the new job. We get promoted. We're able to purchase a home. And we also experience seasons of lack. We lose the job. Unfortunately, we lose the home. Our children begin to act up. We get a bad report from the doctor. What we need to know is that at these times of lack and disappointment, times of challenge, the seasons of life in which we pray and God goes silent, those are the seasons in which we as Christians develop spiritually, emotionally, and we increase our faith. How many know that trouble will send you to your knees? If there's ever a time that we should be praying, it's now. It's in those seasons of difficulty that we learn how to get close to God and how to pray. I want to talk to someone today that you're experiencing difficulty in life. You're going through a season of lack and disappointment. You've been praying and trying to live to the best of your ability. When you could go to church, you were going to church. You were trying to treat everybody right. You weren't participating in gossip. Yet, you haven't heard from God. Your prayers have gone unanswered. Can I submit to you that you are experiencing a silent season? Let me tell you something about these silent seasons that we go through. They are not to hurt us or to harm us, but they're to make us better. They're to make us stronger. It is in those silent seasons that Christians develop their faith. It is through the silent seasons that God blesses us. Paul says here in this text to the Galatians, in verse 7, he shares with us at least two very important spiritual principles. In verse number 7, he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." In other words, he's saying, don't fool yourself. God isn't mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. We understand that there's a correlation between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. Paul is alluding to the fact that, say for instance, if we sow corn in our garden, we can expect to reap corn. We're not going to reap cucumbers, we're not going to reap watermelons. Whatever we sow in the ground, we can expect to reap likewise. Well, we get that. Well, in the spiritual world, it works the same way. If we sow discord, if we participate in gossip, there's no way that we can live a negative life and expect to reap positive effects. Paul here is alluding to that fact and that principle, but the one that I want to concentrate on today is found in verse number 9. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." What he's saying is, he is inferring that reaping is delayed. We would like not to have to wait for anything. We live in a microwave society. We want everything now. We hate waiting in lines. When we pray, we want to see immediate results. But I can attest to the fact that prayers and the fruition of our prayers take time. There is a process that we must experience. And the process that I'm talking about today is a season of silence. It's a time in which you're praying. It's a time in which you're doing to the best of your ability, your due diligence. You fill out the applications. Now you're hoping for the job. There is a season of silence in which a seed is planted, and it looks like nothing's happening. I want to say right here that it's during those times in which it looks like God isn't listening, God is not responding. God works in secret. He works out of the realm of where we can see. That's why he demands us in Hebrews 11, chapter 6, he says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." Talking about God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." In other words, if you don't quit, somebody say if. It all is conditional. If you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you don't get tired of doing the right thing, you will reap the right results, even though they may be delayed. And I want to submit also to you that blessings are burdens. We want the new house. I'm talking to the young person now. You're staying in mama's house or mama and daddy's house, but you want to be out on your own. There's no way that you can be out on your own and you're not taking care of the room that you already have. You're not keeping it clean. You're not doing the things necessary to ensure that you're being a good steward with what God has already given you. You want a new car. But can I say right here that he's not going to give you a new car until you start taking care of the car that you already have? I know it's old. It might be dinged up, but are you washing it off? Are you keeping it clean? Are you doing the necessary things that would show God that you would be a good steward? Luke chapter 16, verse 10, write it down. We don't have time for you to turn to it. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust in much. So, how are you behaving in your season of silence? It's very easy to praise God when everything is going well, but are you a praiser in the pits of life? I think about the story of Joseph, how he was thrown into a pit. It's when you're in the pit when you have to remember who God is. And you have to even praise him in the pit, believing that not only is he going to bring you out, he's going to bring you out better. And you're going to go from the pit to the palace. I'm reminded of Abraham. Abraham was promised of God that he would be the father of many nations. The thing is, when he was promised this, he was past the age of having a child. The Bible even alludes to the fact that his body was dead, meaning that he could no longer father a child. And his wife, Sarah, was well past menopause. So in effect, her body was dead. There's some things in your life that may be dead. But we serve a God of resurrection. He can bring those dead areas, those dead situations back to life if you continue to believe. The word says 25 years after the promise was given to Abraham, Sarah conceived. Those 25 years was his silent season. You may be in a silent season this morning. You may be dealing with a situation that seems hopeless. You may even seem helpless. But can I just encourage you to keep on believing and to keep on trusting God, even in your silent season? When you can't see what God is doing, someone has said that he's up to something. God is not only up to something, he's working on your behalf. During your silent season, remain faithful and do the things that would say to God, I trust you. How are you acting in your silent season? Are you complaining? Are you talking about your lack? Are you telling God about your problem? Or are you telling your problem about your God? We have the power to move mountains, but what we fail to understand is that we need to stop talking to God about our mountain and start telling our mountain about our God. Everything that we go through is spiritual in nature. The Word declares in the book of James that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Are you speaking life to your life or are you speaking death to your life? Nothing wrong in stating facts, but after you state a fact, you need to state faith. You're not feeling well, but I'm going to get better. Your back is aching, but it's going to stop. I don't have the energy that I would like to have, but my energy is on the way. We must speak life to our life. I want to share here, I can remember back in 1979, I was somewhat of a young man and began to experience seizures. Seizures, now these seizures didn't last for 5 minutes, but during those 5 minutes I would blank out. I wouldn't even know I was in the world. That would be very dangerous if I would be at the wheel driving. It was a time that ruined the quality of life. That was my silent season. But I kept on believing and I kept on trusting God, but more so than that, I did my very best not to complain. Not to complain about what I couldn't do and what I didn't have. Matter of fact, it got so worse, so bad, that it went from bad to worse that I had to give up driving. But what many that were around me didn't know, I had to give up my keys, so to speak. But what many didn't know is I kept my extra key. Now, I didn't keep my extra key because I was going to sneak off and drive. But the Bible teaches us that we gravitate toward what we can see. The word even goes so far as to say, write the vision and make it plain and put it upon tables that he who runs can see it. What we must do is, when we are in our silent season and we can't see what God is doing, we can't get any indication that he's hearing our prayers and he's going to answer our prayers, we got to do something to give us a visual help, if you will, that God is going to do a miraculous thing in our life. I kept that key for one reason only, because I was saying, unbeknown to me, and I was saying to God that I'm going to drive again. I can't drive now. I'm debilitated. I lost my job. We even lost everything except the place we laid our head. I was married, had a child, but I kept that key because I was saying, one day I'm going to drive again, and that would open up the windows of heaven, because it would enable me to work again. It would enable me to get back into society again. And I want you to know that in the year 2000, the seizures stopped. 21 years of epilepsy, 5 automobile accidents in which I totaled the cars, I didn't get hurt. What am I saying? I'm saying God's not only going to bring you out. If you look at me, you can't tell what I've been through. You can't tell that I've been in 5 accidents and totaled every vehicle. I'm still here today because not only will God bring you out, he'll bring you out better. I'm wiser, my faith is increased, and I don't look like what I've been through. I'm reminded about 3 Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown in a fiery furnace because they would not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's demand of worship. They said, we won't bow, King. Well, he said, well, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. What he's saying is, I'm going to put you to death. He said, that might be true, but we still won't bow. The word declares that when they were thrown in that fire, and it was heated hotter than 7 times hotter than normal, the people who threw them in died. The word declares that when the king went back to check on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, looked in, peered in, he said, didn't we throw in 3? He said, but I see a 4th one. And they're all walking around in the fire. And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. What am I saying? I'm trying to let you see that the Bible says that when they came out, they didn't even smell the smoke. The hairs weren't singed. God can bring you out not only better, but he can bring you out and you won't look like what you've been through. Back to this text. James says, faith without works is dead. In other words, we can be believing for something, but our believing has to transition into expectation. A man and a woman can be believing for a child. They can be picking out baby names. They can be looking at furniture. But when the woman becomes pregnant, and we said when she begins to expect, everything changes. Now they're picking out the furniture and buying it. There's a corresponding action to their belief. Now they're preparing the baby's room. They're painting it. They're getting everything right. The baby's not here yet, but they're living now in expectancy. You must live even during your seasons of silence with an expectation that makes you behave differently than you normally would. If you are expecting one day to be married, you got to live in expectancy. You got to start making preparations now for the day of your wedding. You ought to go out now. You're not even talking to anyone, and buy an album and set it in plain view where you can see it, because that's where your wedding pictures are going. You need to have so much faith that you are learning how to cook and maintain a household. Because God isn't going to send you anybody that you can't be a blessing to. I know I'm right about it. This text lets us know that it is during those seasons of silence that we must behave in a manner of expectation that correlates and is in agreement with God's word. We cannot get tired of doing good, doing the right thing. Even when the wrong thing is happening, we have to remember that harvest is delayed. Harvest is always delayed. You never seen a farmer plant and immediately the next day start reaping the harvest. He has to wait. But while he's waiting, he's preparing for his harvest. He's getting his barns right. While he's waiting, he's cleaning out his freezer because he knows he's going to have a harvest. And he's making room, doing things that correspond to what he's believing. Faith without works is dead. Lastly, as I said before, we want you to put something in front of you that will remind you of the thing that you're hoping for. If your child is misbehaving, you must believe that that will change. If you lost your job, you're still keeping your Excel skills and Word skills sharp because you know you're going to work again. You must fill out the application. You must pound the doors, make the phone calls. Do your due diligence. God will do what you can't, but he won't do what you can do. We have a part called the possible. God has a part called the impossible. We can't do his part. He won't do ours. So, as I said before, go back to that analogy that I made with the key. Even though I wasn't driving, I kept a key near me, in front of me, as a visual reminder that I would drive again. Those are things that we do to make us look forward. But there are also things that we do that make us look back. One of the things that we do is we participate in Holy Communion. The Bible says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. We want to thank everyone, and we hope that you have your bread and your juice ready. We will now take part in Holy Communion. Although we are not together, through the medium of grace and through the power of prayer, we will connect spiritually with this holy sacrament as we all participate. Would you pray with me now? Eternal God, our Father, we want to thank you for bringing us to this Holy Communion. It is symbolic, Father, of the pain and the suffering and the brutality that you experienced on our behalf, in our stead. We want to thank you right now. And you said in your word, as often as we do this, to do it in remembrance of you. Father, we remember what you did because you loved us. We thank you now for the bruises. We thank you, God, for the insults, for being spat upon on our behalf. We thank you most of all for hanging on that cross in our stead. We thank you, God, for resurrection power. And now this thing that we do, Father, we look back in remembrance of your body that was broken for us and the blood that you shed for us. And we thank you for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Say with me, amen. The word declares that he sent Peter and John into a city, and he told them upon entering a city, they were staying on the outskirts of town. He told them to look for a man in a busy street, in the middle of the street, bearing a pitcher of water. Now, that would be a sign to them to follow that gentleman into a house. And upon entering the house, to say to the master or owner of the house that the teacher had need of his house to eat this Passover with his disciples. The Bible says that Peter and John went and they found all as Jesus had said. Even a large upper room that was fully furnished just for that very purpose. If you would now prepare your holy sacrament that you might participate in it. The word declares that after he had pointed out his deceiver, for we know that Judas also participated in the Lord's Supper. He said it would be the one that would be dipping in the dish with him. I can just see it now, both of them dipping at the same time. He said, but woe unto that man. It would be better that he had not been born. After pointing out the deceiver, he broke the bread and he distributed it. And he said, take, this is my body that is broken for you. Eat ye all of it. In like manner, he took the cup. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Take, drink ye all of it. But he said, I would not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God be fulfilled. We want to thank you for joining us. And we want to close by extending the Christian invitation. No live stream sermon is complete without bringing us to a point of decision. Every sermon should bring us to the point of decision. If you are not already under the ark of safety, we want to now extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. We would love for you to join faith when this pandemic is over, but we want you to join Christ. No church can get you anywhere. The only vehicle that can get you from this existence to the eternal existence in heaven is Jesus. So we want you to pray this prayer. Our God and our Father, I'm a sinner. And Father, I want to thank you for your saving grace. I now give my life to you. I ask that you come into my very being and take full control of my life. I make you Lord of my life and Savior of my soul. I believe that you came, that you lived, and that you died, and that you rose the third day and live now forevermore. And because you live, I now live also. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we believe that you got born again. And that you have now a residence that's not in this land, but in a kingdom not made of hand. And we know that that kingdom doesn't reside in a building, but now the building is our body. For the word declares that the temple of God is our bodies. If you pray that prayer, we believe again that you're born again, that you have joined the family of faith. Welcome you to the family of faith. And we thank you for joining us. And we want to conclude by reminding you, if you are in your season of silence, not to get tired of doing the right thing. For if you don't quit, though it's delayed, the Bible says, wait for it shall surely come to pass. We thank you, and now we want to give the benediction. Every eye closed, every head bowed, and now unto him that is able to keep us all from falling, and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let the redeemed of the Lord acknowledge him by saying, Amen. God bless you, and we bid you Godspeed.